ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरञ्जय नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रेषभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भगवति तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी तथा राजस्तमो भावा कामलोभादयश्चये चेताय तैरनाविदं सित्वं सत्त्वे प्रसीदति। रीडिङ्ग् फ्रोम् श्रीमद्भागवतम् फोर्थ् केन्टो सिक्स्थ् चाप्टर् Text number 45. Tvam karmanam mangala mangalanam kartu svalokam tanushe svaha param va amangalanam cha tamisram ulbanam viparyaya kena tad eva kasyachit. Tvam karmanam mangala mangalanam tvam karmanam mangala mangalanam kartu svalokam tanushe svaparam va. Kartu svalokam tanushe svaparam va. Amangalanam chatamishram mulbanam. Amangalanam chatamishram mulbanam. Viparyaya kena tadeva kasyachit. Viparyaya kena tadeva kasyachit. Tvam karmanam mangala mangalanam. Kartu svalokam tanushe svaparangva. Amangalanam chatamishram ulbanam. Viparyaya kena tadeva kasyachit. Tvam, your lordship, karmanam, of the prescribed duties. Mangala, O most auspicious. Mangalanam, of the auspicious. Kartuhu, of the performer. Svalokam, respective higher planetary systems. Tanushe, expand. Svaha, heavenly planets. Param, transcendental world. Va, or. Amangalanam, of the inauspicious. Cha, and. Tamishram, the name of a particular hell. Ulbanam, ghastly. Viparyayaha, the opposite. Kena, why. Tat eva, certainly that. Kasyachit, for someone. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. O most auspicious Lord, you have ordained the heavenly planets, the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, and the impersonal Brahman sphere as the respective destination of the performers of auspicious activities. Similarly, for others who are miscreants, you have destined different kinds of hells, which are horrible and ghastly. Yet sometimes it is found that their destinations are just the opposite. It is very difficult to ascertain the cause of this. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called the Supreme Will. It is by the Supreme Will that everything is happening. It is said, therefore, that not a blade of grass moves without the Supreme Will. Generally, it is prescribed that performers of pious activities are promoted to the higher planetary systems. Devotees are promoted to the Vaikunthas, or spiritual worlds, and impersonal speculators are promoted to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. But it sometimes happens that a miscreant like Ajamil is immediately promoted to the Vaikuntha Loka simply by chanting the name of Narayan. Although when Ajamil uttered this vibration, he intended to call his son Narayan. Lord Narayan took it seriously and immediately gave him promotion to Vaikuntha Loka, despite his background, which was full of sinful activities. Similarly, King Daksha was always engaged in the pious activities of performing sacrifices, yet simply because of creating a little misunderstanding with Lord Shiva, he was severely taken to task. The conclusion is, therefore, that the Supreme Will is the ultimate judgment. No one can argue upon this. A pure devotee, therefore, submits in all circumstances to the Supreme Will of the Lord, accepting it as all auspicious. Tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagva purbir vidadang namaste jivetiyo mukte pade sadaya bhak. Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto 14th chapter text number 8. The purport of this verse is that when a devotee is in a calamitous condition, he takes it as a benediction of the Supreme Lord and takes responsibility himself for his past misdeeds. In such a condition, he offers still more devotional service and is not disturbed. One who lives in such a disposition of mind, engaged in devotional service, is the most eligible candidate for promotion to the spiritual world. In other words, such a devotee's claim for promotion to the spiritual world is assured in all circumstances. Tvam karmanam mangala mangalanam kartu svalokam tanushe svak parangva amangalanam chatamishramulbanam viparyaya kena tadeva kasya chit. O most auspicious Lord, you've ordained the heavenly planets, the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, and the impersonal Brahman sphere as the respective destinations of the performers of auspicious activities. Similarly, for others who are miscreants, you have destined different kinds of hells, which are horrible and ghastly. Yet sometimes it is found that their destinations are just the opposite. It is very difficult to ascertain the cause of this. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Vutale Svayam rupam gadamayam dadhati svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. With your blessings, seniors, and your well wishes, try to say something on Srimad Bhagavatam for our own purification. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma is satisfying Lord Shiva with choice prayers. Lord Shiva is in Kailash, sitting underneath his famous tree, which is a very special tree. Daksha was not able to appreciate Shiva's exalted position because the nature of saintly persons is that they do not wear their great qualities, as we say in English, on their sleeve. They do not present themselves as being very great. So for Daksha, who was very expert in materialistic affairs, his son-in-law was never exactly to his likings. he was not up to the mark. Because Daksha is very expert in procreation and in universal affairs. So Lord Shiva's external appearance was not very much appreciated by him. And as such, he was never actually comfortable with having Lord Shiva as a son-in-law. And then there was a few run-ins, you know, there was a few incidences which made him very much inimical towards Lord Shiva. You remember about the sons of whom? Who he delivered? Whose sons? That was Narada Muni. But the case is the same, meaning that the saintly person is working for the benefit of the living entity. And that was not appreciated by Lord Daksha. That was Narada Muni liberating Daksha's sons. And in the same way, Daksha could also not appreciate Lord Shiva's preaching and Lord Shiva's absorption in Harikatha and Kirtan, because he was externally not engaged in the activities of economic development, sense gratification, and all these material pursuits. So Daksha got very disturbed when Lord Shiva did not show him the proper respect. Now, Shiva is in a more elevated, in a more superior position, so there was no reason for him to show respect to Lord Daksha. And he was always absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, because Daksha thought, I'm the father-in-law, and I'm the person who is the center of all attention here, so why are you not giving me the proper respect? So a little, what he considered a breach of etiquette, something minor, he took it as something major. And he became furious. He became so enraged that he insulted Shiva's wife, Parvati, to such an extent that he gave up her body. She gave up her life because of the insult of Daksha. She didn't want to have anything to do with the body which came from Daksha. So the point was, saintly persons are always acting for the benefit of the living entities. And as such, we shouldn't think, why is Shiva cutting off his head? Because Lord Shiva is all auspicious. He's always acting for the benefit of all living entities. He's the greatest of the Vaishnavas. But when he's punishing Daksha, he does so to teach him a good lesson. Now, he could have just killed him, but he didn't. He cut off his head and he gave him the head of a goat. So every time he sees himself, he has to remember, oh, there was a problem. There is a mistake there in my life. So he made the arrangement in such a way that Daksha was actually benefited. And Daksha, as we can see later on, will also perform the sacrifice. And not only perform the sacrifice, his consciousness has become reformed and he will take shelter of Lord Shiva. So that was the great benefit which Daksha got. But it took him a long time. Why couldn't he appreciate Lord Shiva? Because Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatakshambhu. He's the most magnanimous, the most merciful Vaishnav. And as such, he's always granting causeless mercy to all living entities. Why was Daksha not able to appreciate that quality of Lord Shiva, which was so outstanding that all other seeming discrepancies should have overlooked? Well, the main factor which was clouding his vision, which was clouding his judgment, his vision was jaded, was his envy. He was envious. He was envious of Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva was being respected and worshipped by everybody. And he thought, why is he getting all that? Why not me? So when we see, when we look into our own hearts, when we introspect and see, why am I not tasting the process of Krishna consciousness. Why can I not truly appreciate this greatest gift, this causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas and my spiritual master? Usually it is because of offenses. Offensive mentality is created by envy, envy in the heart. Now, we are originally envious of Krishna, and this envy towards Krishna manifests in the most common and in the most daily occurrence of being envious of other living entities. Or why does this person have what I don't have? Why does this person own what I don't own? Why is this person respected? Why is this person worshipped? Now, we may say, this is not the case. I'm not envious as such. But we have to introspect and see, are we truly non-envious? Are we paradukha sukhi or paradukha dukhi? Do we take joy in other people's success? Do we take pleasure in other people passing us by and making tremendous advancement in spiritual life? Or do we think, why him? Why her? Why not me? And then as a natural result, usually the mind always tries to justify and always tries to pull the other person down. Because we think that by pulling somebody down, it makes us great. Now, for instance, my mind may think, oh, I'm sitting on such a high seat. But then again, the fly, which is sitting on the seat or on my lap, may think the same thing. So the seat is there because it is as a respect to the Srimad Bhagavatam and to the speaker of the Bhagavatam. Now, if I think that I have become great because I am sitting 1 foot elevated, then I am no better than a fly who thinks, oh, this is a nice view here. I'm actually, you know, having a great time. So how can we avoid enviousness in the heart? What eradicates envy from the heart? That is service. Serving the Vaishnavs with a grateful heart, with an attitude of gratitude, that is destroying the envy, which is there lying in our heart. Sometimes it might be dormant, sometimes it might be manifested. Now, many times we are not so eager to associate with Vaishnavs because we are very comfortable in our own little world. Just like Daksha, he was very comfortable in his own environment. But when he was faced with Shiva, he became very disturbed. So in the same way, we should introspect and see when there is a bit of crowd at the deity greeting or at prasadam time. Do I get disturbed if some Vaishnava mercifully gives me the dust of his lotus feet? Am I disturbed if somebody steps upon me or bumps into me? Or do I think, oh, the Lord is very kind. He has given me the mercy of this Vaishnava. So let me accept it. Now, in this modern world, if one is proud, it is considered a good quality. And if one is humble, it is considered a weakness. You have to be able to stand up for yourself. You have to stand for your rights. Stand up for your rights. Don't get stepped upon. But what is our ambition? What is our heartfelt desire? What are we trying to achieve? Gopi Partar, Bhara Kamalayor, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. We're trying not to become the servant, because a servant in a material world is a lowly position. If you tell your relatives that after studying at IIT, you have become a servant, I don't think they will be very excited. Because the servant is the guy who carries the broom, you know, the one who sleeps under the staircase. So being a servant is not very high respected position. But we're not trying to be the servant. We're trying to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, many times removed of the gopis, who are the maidservants of Srimati Radharani, who is worshipping Krishna. So to eradicate envy from our heart, let us serve the Vaishnavas with an attitude of gratitude. that the six kinds of loving exchanges between Vaishnavas are delineated. Dadati pratigrina ti guyama kyati prichati bhungte pochayate chaiva sadvidim pridilakshanam. Now, many times we think that that means, okay, where are the gifts, you know? Where, I don't feel the love. Where is the reciprocation? Where, who appreciates? Who gives me gifts? Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai, Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Radha Shyama Sundar Ki Jai. Or if we give others gifts, we may think, oh, okay, I have this broken thing, so let me give it in charity. Just like sometimes people think, I have this cow, it's dry, it's dried up, so let me give it to Govinda. Let me give it to the temple. Krishna likes cows, isn't it? He's Govinda. So he will take care of this cow. So we should not give all the unwanted things, all things which are broken or unuseful in charity, but we should give things which are meaningful, which the Vaishnavas require, which they can actually use. And if somebody gives us a gift, we should appreciate it and we should accept it and not reject it. Because many times, if we are not grateful and we reject it and we see the reaction on that person who has given that gift, it's like I remember when I started distributing Prabhupada's books, I was quite young, and when we went door to door, a lot of times the old ladies, after buying the book in Switzerland, they went back to the kitchen and got a bar of chocolate and brought that bar and said, here, this is for you. Now, initially, I thought, no, I'm a brahmachari. We don't eat chocolate. So I said, no. And then when I saw that look on the face of that old lady, well, I cringed, you know, like, you know, she's ready to offer me her love in the form of a piece of chocolate. And I reject it. She felt so hurt, so bad, that after a while, I got the point that when somebody wants to give you a gift, you accept it and you smile and you say thank you. You may pass it on to whoever later on, but never refuse a gift which is given out of love. Now we may think these loving exchanges only take place amongst Vaishnavas, but all living entities are actually servants of the Lord. And to appreciate every person means to appreciate the Vaishnavas, also means to appreciate every living entity, to be thankful for whatever they are offering you. It's like I was distributing books in America this summer, and I went up to a car, and there was a father with five children, and they were very rambunctious. They were not very attentive. So I just told them, this book is about yoga, meditation, peace of mind, shows you how to get free from stress. We're monks. We're trying to share this with everybody here. And I saw they were not in the right state of mind. So I just had to move on because they were not with me. They were getting out of the car and all jumpy and frisky. And so I went away and I continued distributing. After 10 minutes, the kids, followed by the father, walked up to me with a big plastic jar with mangoes, strawberries, cherries, cut up papaya, like a big, huge container of first-class fruit. And they said, you told us you're a monk? This is from God's garden with love for you. And they gave me that. And I said, thank you very much. And I gave them a Bhagavad Gita. And I said, and this is, you know, God's instructions, God's teachings with love for you. And they said, wow, this is great. Now we still got the book, you know? And they went into the concert and they were all excited. So sometimes all a person can take is a friendly smile. They're not ready to take more. Sometimes all they can take is an invitation card or a piece of prasada or some encouraging words. Very few people take to Krishna consciousness on their first exchange. Just like Daksha here. It took him a few exchanges, you know, till he caught on. He had to go through some process of purification. So in the same way, developing that patience and that confidence that everything is going to be all right, that everything works out, everything is under the control of the Lord. Not a single blade of grass moves without the sweet will of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada says here in this purport. Now, do we believe it? Or do we think, no, this person has to surrender right now, right here, to who? To me. Why? Because I say so. Well, you're going to be in for a surprise. Because people will take one look at you, and you know what they're going to say? Yes, I'm going to buy the book, but not from you. Because I don't like your attitude. I'll buy it from that girl over there, you know, because she seems nice. Did anybody ever tell you that? Actually, I want Krishna consciousness, but not from you. Maybe they not tell you that. But if we're introspective, we should understand that that's the case. That's the scenario. We are not able to connect with people because we're too absorbed in our own little world, in our own little scenario of I, me, and mine. And that's why we cannot appreciate people for who they are. So, guyam akhyati prichati, to reveal one's mind in confidence and to give counsel and guidance to others. Sharing means caring. Now, a lot of times in our Vaishnav communities, we hear, oh, there is not enough caring. There's not enough caring for each other. There is not enough concern. There is not enough love there. And devotees sometimes feel disheartened and think, let me go out there and do my own thing because nobody really likes me here. Everybody's so selfish. Everybody only cares for themselves. Only I care for myself. Everybody only cares for themselves. So, but where does that come from? We all want to have loving and caring and trusting relationships. But where do those relationships come from? Just like you can see in the relationship between Daksha and Lord Shiva, there was a problem. Why? Because trust was not established. Daksha did not trust Lord Shiva that he was actually acting for his benefit. And that's why there was a break in the relationship. Now, if we want to get love and trust, what's the first step to get there? The first step is communication, that people actually start talking to each other. If that's not happening, then cooperation is never going to happen, and love and trust is simply an idea, a concept. So most of the times, when we have a breakdown in human relationships, and that is the same for outreach activity, that is because we do not actually care to listen to the other person. We have a preset disposition. We already made up our mind. We look at somebody and we think, oh, this person's like this, this person's like that. That's exactly Daksha's problem. Every time he saw Shiva, he saw his dress, he saw his outward situation, and he was appalled. So, if we are doing the same thing, we will cause offenses not only to the Vaishnavas, but we'll cause offenses also to the living entities, Jiva Hingsa. Because we are looking on a mundane perspective. Oh, this person is wealthy, this person's educated, this person is qualified to get Krishna's mercy, and this person is not. Now, first of all, who are we to make that judgment call on who's qualified and who's not? Why are we here in Krishna consciousness? Because of Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy. And because of the causeless mercy of another Vaishnav who extended themselves beyond the call of duty to reach out to us. I remember very closely who brought me to Krishna consciousness, how many hours they spent on the phone answering all my questions till late at night, and going through all the different scenarios and listening to all the different challenges I put forward. Now, I'm very grateful to those devotees who did that. But the question is, are we also grateful to the person who comes up to us on the street. And, you know, sometimes we go out and we're a little overconfident or a little self-righteous. And we think that we're the good guys. We are on a mission from God. And we are right. And everybody else is wrong. And we're going to prove it to them. And then people come up to us, or we walk up to them and we try to give them a book. And we say, this book is about, you know, take this book. It's about meditation and yoga, happiness and peace. And the person takes one look at us and says, why don't you read it yourself? You look like you need it more than I do. Because my life was great till I met you. And now it's not so great. So why don't you give me a break and get lost? And usually we're not able to appreciate that. And we think, oh, he's a demon, you know. Okay, we make a sign. Okay, 99 demons. Okay, now 100. He has to take a book. But who has the demoniac consciousness here? Who is the person who is not able to appreciate? Demon means seeing things separate from God. So who has the demoniac consciousness? But if we see every person as a part and parcel of Krishna, if we see every person as an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, then we're able to appreciate every living entity. And we'll be able to extend ourselves. Now, how do we get from enviousness to non-envy? For a bigger portion of my life as a devotee, I did not want to believe in the concept or in the reality of change, that people can change, that it's actually possible to make a difference. Why? Because I did not want to change myself. And that's why I made a conscious decision to say that change is not possible. Why? Because I don't want to change. And that's why I can't see change. I can't appreciate change. But if we are actually introspective and we analyze our own lives, sometimes they ask Prabhupada, well, what kind of miracles can you perform? Because it's a common practice in India that the saintly person is supposed to perform some sort of mystic feat. Yeah? Prabhupada just pointed to all the devotees and said, these are my miracles. So if we look at the devotees and we look at ourselves, this is Srila Prabhupada's miracle. So there has been change. And we see so many devotees who have become not only purified, but they have become so transparent and so radiant with the Lord's mercy that whoever they touch, they in turn become devotees of the Lord. So that change is happening, but we might not be able to see it because we're still absorbed in I, me, and mine. It's like I was speaking to Vidwan Gauranga in Tirupati. He went to purchase Sanskrit books for the library in Kolkata. So he goes all over India to buy original writings of the Acharyas to put it in the Kolkata library. And he said that he goes to these places, these traditional publishers, and they have noted without a fail that since Srila Prabhupada's books are being distributed on a large scale, there has been a huge rise in interest in Sanskrit literatures and Vedic literatures, Vedic texts, that their sales have picked up tremendously, manifold, since ISKCON is distributing the books. And they're all saying that. And these are regular book publishers, you know. They're people who are selling all kinds of stuff. And they're able to see that, to appreciate that. Now again, we may not be able to see change because we don't want to change. Because we think, I'm fine, I'm comfortable, everything's all right, I don't need to change, everything's good. I was in Australia approaching a couple, they came out of a mall, they walked up to me, and I wanted to show them the book. And they looked at my shirt, and they said, you have to open that top button, you know. I was wearing a polo shirt, and it looked a little tight, but, you know, I didn't feel suffocating or anything, but they were so disturbed by that they said, you have to open that button, you know. It looks too uptight. Now, I could have been uptight and told them My shirt is none of your business, you know? But that would have been the end of the conversation. But if we're introspective and we hear maybe Krishna talking through these people, telling us, okay, all right, if you say so. So I opened that button, and then they started smiling, and they felt happy, and they took the book. Now, sometimes it's something very little which we have to do. Is it too difficult to do that, to open that one button? I was in Burlingame with Vaisheshika Prabhu, my mentor and Shiksha Guru. You all know him. He's famous here. So we were at a car wash. Now, for those of you who don't have car wash, that's a place where you step out and they wash your car. But we were sitting on the bench there in the sun and minding our own business. And there was a middle-aged lady with a dog next to us. And Vaisheshika Prabhu turned towards her and he asked her, oh, that's a nice dog. What kind of a dog is that? And I knew if she answers that one question, she's finished. She has to walk away with a Bhagavad Gita. I knew it right there and then. And sure enough, she took the bait because everybody likes some appreciation. You know, love me, love my dog. Everybody appreciates if somebody's got something nice to say about you. Now, she walked away with a Bhagavad Gita. Now, that's time, place, and circumstance, you know. In India, if you tell somebody, oh, you got a nice dog, you know, they're like, what, that thing there? Get away from me. Huh? Now, you might say, I'm a brahmachari, or I'm a Brahmin, or I'm clean. What business do I have talking about dogs? Why is this fellow here giving class talking about dogs? Well, the point is, whatever it takes that that person can appreciate Krishna consciousness, that is the causeless mercy of the devotees, who are more magnanimous, who are more merciful, even than the Lord himself. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yaya tamam prapadyante tamsatayam abhijamyaham. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. But Mahaprabhu, he has come with the nectar of the holy name, and even though we are totally disqualified, we have got no qualification, no money, even no interest to take those fruits of love of God. Mahaprabhu just says, okay, here, take it. And he just puts it in our pocket. That is the extraordinary gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada has made it so easy to distribute Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy in the form of the holy name, in the form of Bhagavad Prasadam, and in the form of these transcendental literatures. A couple of months ago, we were in Washington, D.C., about 70 devotees doing Harinam on a little strip near a mall, pedestrian area. And it was old men, young boys, ladies, shirt and pants, dhotis and saris. It was the united colors of Hare Krishna. It was the whole happy tribe. Everybody was out there chanting and dancing. And it was so attractive that hundreds and hundreds of people gathered. And it became a big attraction. And we were distributing books on the side. And people didn't have any questions. You know, they ask, what is this? You just say, this is what it is, you know? Like if you're distributing books here in Krishna Balaram Mandir, people don't have a lot of questions, do they? No. If they have a question, you just say, Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Radhishyam, Jai Gornitai. Huh? By the mercy of the Supreme Lord, you can take one of these wonderful books and you can help, please. So there was about four elderly African-American ladies who were walking by slowly. They didn't stop. They were walking by slowly and they were studying the devotees, you know, looking really carefully. Okay. Talking amongst them each other, you know, see that one, see that one, see that one. What are they doing? You know, like that, analyzing. And then I walked up to them. And then they started talking to me. And they said, you are very happy people. Did you know that you're very happy people? Did anybody ever tell you that you are very happy people? And all I had to say was, yes, thank you very much. And you know why these people are so happy? And I just handed everybody a book. And they just said, can we give you something? And I said, sure, if you like to, why not? And they walked away with the books. So our first and foremost duty is to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Because people are going to take one look at your face. And either they're going to shake their head and walk away, or they start smiling. And they'll say, whatever it is that you have, I want it. Whatever the cost, I want it. Give me some of that. Now, to get from envy to non-enviousness requires introspection. It requires a deliberate, conscious effort. And requires the help of other devotees, of other Vaishnavas. Because unfortunately, we do have blind spots. We have selective listening and selective vision. Just like if I look out here into the courtyard, I see about 30%. But what's behind me and what else is going on, I can't see it. Because I'm limited. And in the same way, we're all limited by our own vision. That's why we need good friends who can tell us, Prabhu, you are in Maya. Cut your act out. Straighten up. Now the question is, what if we don't have friends like that? Well, then you're in a very dangerous position. If nobody cares that much for you, that they will actually go beyond the call of friendship of you're okay, I'm okay, and will actually tell you what they perceive, then we're doomed. We're in trouble. So why do we not allow other Vaishnavas to come close to us? Because we're scared. We might say, oh, I'm so offensive. I'm scared to commit offenses, you know. I'm too low. I'm too fallen. I'm even too fallen to chant the holy name, you know. I'll just commit offenses. But then how do we get out of this predicament? But the association of the Vaishnavas and the association of the holy name of the Lord are always available. They're always there. Because it's the causeless mercy. It is not something which we have acquired or which we have worked for by our own meritorious deeds. But it has been granted upon us as a great gift, as a great blessing. Now the question is, how many of the devotees do we trust? Because the matter of the fact is, if we want to go back home, back to Godhead, we have to trust Krishna. We have to take that ultimate leap, you know. It's a leap of faith. You have to have that conviction that Krishna will catch us. That will not just, you know, fall down into that deep, you know, dark well. Krishna will catch us. So where do we get that confidence? Now the question is, how many devotees are here or how many devotees are there on the planet that we truly trust? How many persons would you give your laptop, your passport, your mobile phone, your credit card with the PIN codes, your passwords to your email? How many devotees are there whom we really trust with the secrets of our heart? Do we reveal our heart to anybody? Do we reveal our heart to Krishna? Do we trust ourselves? That's the scary part, you know? Now, where does trust come from? What does trust consist of? Trust is made up of three main ingredients. One is integrity. If a person has integrity, means a person is truthful. He doesn't speak lies, but is a person of character. Then we can trust that person. The other thing is maturity. If a person is mature, maturity means being able to balance between courage and consideration. A lot of times,
We think ourselves to be very courageous, but we're not that considerate. So in the name of courage, we're inconsiderate. So that is not a sign of maturity. And then non-envy, which we spoke about. Do we feel happy? Do we feel elated when we see other devotees excel and get the mercy? Or do we feel happy when we hear, oh, this one, you know, just lost his job, or this one just lost this, or this one just lost that, you know? I mean, honestly, we may, in theory, we may say, oh yeah, how terrible. But inside, what do we really think? Do we think, oh yeah, he had it coming, you know? Nobody saw the writing on the wall, but I saw it. Or do we really feel, you know, sorry? That is non-enviousness. I have a friend who's an Ayurvedic doctor in Mumbai. And some Gurukulis, and they ask, you know, they wanted to get into the profession of being Ayurvedic doctors. So I asked him, what is the first and foremost quality a doctor has to have, or a person has to have, to be a good doctor? And he said, the one outstanding quality which you have to have, otherwise you can learn as many skills and go to as many years of training, it doesn't really matter. He said, you have to feel the pain of the patient. You have to be able to feel their pain. And the same is true for a preacher. If we are not able to feel the pain of the person who is standing right in front of us, if we think, oh, nice dress, oh, nice watch, oh, nice family, oh, you know, nice car. I wish I had that, you know. If there is a slight tinge of envy or even despise, arrogance, even though what you say might be true, but because it is coated with a thin veneer of envy, it will just taste bitter to that person. And if you are actually caring, if we are actually caring for another person, even if sometimes we may use strong words, we may use strong language, the person will feel the uplifting and the caring mood and spirit which was underlying, which was the reason why that person extended themselves. And they will appreciate. So, to engage in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest blessing and is the greatest fortune. Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful gift. He has built a house in which the whole world can live. But why is it that many of us are feeling lonely at times in their own Krishna consciousness or in their own existence? Because we do not truly appreciate the association of other Vaishnavas. And we do not truly appreciate the great gift of Srila Prabhupada. So to change is actually possible. One can actually see change. But it requires the element of introspection. Now I've heard from a reliable authority that once Srila Prabhupada was asked in Chicago by an interviewer, what is the secret of your success? Why are you so successful? And Srila Prabhupada paused for a minute and thought deeply. And then he said, I was successful because I was always introspective. So, Daksha was missing introspection. And that's why he lost it big time on several occasions. And that's why he not only lost it, he also lost his head. And he got the head of a goat. Now, if we want to imbibe the mood of the acharyas, just like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the purport to the Vyavasayatmika Buddhir verse of Bhagavad Gita is stating that if you truly want to get the mercy, you have to imbibe, understand, study and imbibe the mood of the acharya. And in this way, you'll actually be able to get their mercy. So if we want to understand what is Srila Prabhupada's mood, what is his mission, we have to study his books. Just like we're having this course now on book distribution and leadership. And yesterday I was asking the students, how many of you have read all of Srila Prabhupada's books? And about two hands went up. Then I asked them, how many of you are reading 2 hours a day? About no hands went up. How many are reading 1 hour a day? A few hands went up. Half an hour, a few more went up. One verse, a few more went up. The point is, we cannot appreciate the great gift and legacy of Prabhupada unless we study his books on a daily basis. If you read 2 hours a day, in 2 years you'll have read all of Prabhupada's books. Is that too difficult? It's not. We just have to make the time. But it's a constant effort. It's a constant struggle. So I'm preaching to myself here because there's 100 reasons why not to read, why to do a million other things. But if we realize that we're reading, this is nourishment for my soul. This is Krishna directly talking to me here through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, through Srila Prabhupada. I need this more than I need breathing. Now, we're all very anxious to breathe. Like when you're congested in a small little room or cave, and like that classroom up there on the first floor, you know, and you feel so happy you can get out and breathe air. Huh? How anxious are we to breathe? Pretty desperate. How anxious are we for food? We're pretty anxious for food. Like I know, today is not a fasting day, right? So everybody already has made up their mind. I will eat at least 2 meals today. How many of you have made that decision that you're going to eat twice today? How many are going to eat once? How many are going to fast altogether? So we are very determined. We are very determined to sleep. We might be very renounced, but the sleep, oh, that's sacred. That's my time. Now, Prabhupada, he gave up sleeping for our sake. He got to bed about 10 o'clock at night, and at 12 he rose without the help of an alarm clock. He washed his hands and his face, and he sat down, and he translated Srimad Bhagavatam. He has sacrificed what is considered the most precious time, the sleep. He has sacrificed it for our sake. So, if we study Prabhupada's books scrutinizingly, and we see Prabhupada's sense of urgency to give this nectar, to give this message of Mahaprabhu to all living entities, we will become infected. We will become inspired. We will become moved to do something. I don't know what, but something to help the living entities. Now, Krishna consciousness is not a theoretical process. It is something very practical. Huh? So to appreciate the Vaishnavas is something very practical. Huh? It means to be happy when you see a Vaishnava. It means to glorify the Vaishnava. It means not to have an envious attitude, an envious mentality of fault-finding. We may think, oh, in my culture it's okay, you know. We are very analytical. We are very... Daksha thought the same. He said, hey, I'm very analytical. I know what's what. And he got into big trouble. Huh? And Bhunkte Pujayate Chaiva Sadvidin Pridilakshanam. To offer prasad and to accept prasad. Huh? To always give people prasadam. It makes a world of a difference. It's like one time I was in an airport in America, even though I not exactly like the airports, but... One person, I wanted to give him a book, but he was interested, but he couldn't take it. You know, sometimes you have said whatever you had to say, and there is that silence. It's called the moment of truth. And you can hear a pin drop. And you try from all 10 directions to give him the book, but it just doesn't happen. But somehow he smiled, and he was attached, but he couldn't take it. So I just kept on praying and trying. You tell me when I have to stop here. Very soon means like 10 seconds or 2 minutes. Okay. So, and then something clicked. You know, he went back in time and he said 1987, rainbow gathering. Donut dumplings, deep fried in strawberry yogurt sauce. And he said, is this the same thing? Is this the same thing? And I said, this is the same thing. This is the same taste. And he said, how much? How much? I want to buy this. You see? It took a time for him to make that connection between the prasadam and the book. That's why when you have the chanting of the holy name and you have the book, it's a winning combination. You get them from both sides. They can't avoid it. One time I was distributing books in Bombay, that's the last one, in Dadar station, big busy train station. And there was a person dressed all in black, black hat, black long hair, black shirt, black coat, letter pants, black boots, you know, biker boots. And he was walking with his black guitar case. And he was a heavy metal rock guitarist from Iran. So I met him and I thought, this person has to take this book. This book will go back to Iran. He has to take it. And somehow he smiled, but he just was, you know, not so, he was a little distant. And then I tried from this side, from this side, from this side, and I just couldn't connect with the person. He was just not, it was not happening. The moment of truth came and it went, and I started again from beginning, went through the whole loop, and the moment of truth came again, and it was kind of like embarrassing for me. Till I just had to make that leap of faith and finally turn to Krishna and say, Krishna, I can't do this. You help me. I can't make this person take this book. It's not possible. You please help. I give up. And then somehow Krishna gave me the inspiration. Now, I usually don't do these things because I'm a quite antisocial person, even though you might not believe that. But I just embraced him, gave him a big hug. I went, Hare Krishna! And I had to do it 3 times. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Because I don't have the pure chanting. I'm not chanting purely. Like so many devotees here are chanting so purely that people who just come here and then they just walk over there and then they say, you know, just give me whatever you like to give me, you know. I want it all, you know. So then all of a sudden, you know, something clicked. And the book and the holy name made a fusion in his person. And that 100 rupees came out and he walked away happily, smiling with his book. Now that's why we want you to go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books and to distribute the holy name and to distribute prasadam. So you can see that miracle of Lord Chaitanya happening right in front of your eyes. How that person who shakes his head all of a sudden is smiling and saying, yes, thank you very much, and walks away with the book. Now, to truly understand and imbibe the mood of Srila Prabhupada means, if you want to feel what Prabhupada felt when he stepped off the boat, when he went to America with his trunks of books, that means we have to venture out there and do the same thing. Do as he did. And just try it. We should do it, you know. Maybe with parachutes. We just drop somebody with, you know, a big backpack full of books. Then you have your red button, you know, get me out of here. See how long you can survive just on selling Prabhupada's books and preaching. Huh? That would be quite exciting, wouldn't it? Who signs up for this mission? Huh? Who's ready to go? Yeah, you are always ready. You were born ready. So I'm just babbling here. Please. Daksha was not able to appreciate Shiva because of envy in his heart, because of a lack of introspection. Let us open our heart to the association of the Vaishnavas and get their counsel, get their encouragement, get their chastisement, get their blessings. And in this way, we'll be able to become happy in Krishna consciousness, and one day we'll be able to chant that pure name and to appreciate Srila Prabhupada's greatest gift and legacy. Thank you for your patience. All great Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.